How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woo-hoo! Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
Prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Alistair Campbell from The Rest Is Politics.
Anish Kumar here from Pod Save the UK.
And Christiana Figueres from Outrage and Optimism.
Rising inequality, conflict, climate disaster, it's very hard to find reasons to be hopeful about the future.
That's why we're teaming up this September during the 80th General Assembly of the United Nations.
Along with Political Currency, Pod Save the World, The Week Junior, and more.
We'll discuss the stories that give us hope and answer the question, how does hope turn into action?
Look out for the Be Hope Takeover this September.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woo-hoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
Prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Alistair Campbell from The Rest Is Politics.
Anish Kumar here from Pod Save the UK.
And Christiana Figueres from Outrage and Optimism.
Rising inequality, conflict, climate disaster, it's very hard to find reasons to be hopeful about the future.
That's why we're teaming up this September during the 80th General Assembly of the United Nations.
Along with Political Currency, Pod Save the World, The Week Junior, and more.
We'll discuss the stories that give us hope and answer the question, how does hope turn into action?
Look out for the Be Hope Takeover this September.
It wasn't the courtroom testimony or the blood-spattered evidence photos that made the headlines this time. It was the woman sitting just feet away from the jury box. The one in the blazer taking notes and smiling politely while jurors filed in. Becky Hill. The Colleton County Clerk of Court who became a kind of accidental celebrity during the Alec Murdaugh murder trial. She ran the show behind the scenes, or at least she was supposed to. Now she's been booked and charged like any other defendant, facing felony accusations that could turn one of the most publicized trials in recent American history into a judicial cautionary tale. On May 14th, 2025, Becky Hill turned herself in. She was arrested on four criminal counts, perjury, obstruction of justice, and two counts of misconduct in office. The charges stem not from some forgotten error in paperwork or a misplaced file, but from her alleged conduct during and after the Murdaugh trial, actions that prosecutors say undermined the integrity of a capital murder proceeding and violated her oath to the court. This isn't just a slap on the wrist or an ethics fine. This is real deal, bond-required, fingerprints-taken criminal prosecution. Let's start with the most immediate bombshell, the perjury charge. This one ties directly to Hill's testimony under oath during a retrial hearing for Alec Murdaugh back in January 2024. During that hearing, conducted by former South Carolina Supreme Court Chief Justice Jean Toll, Hill was asked whether she had ever allowed members of the press or any unauthorized individuals to view sealed trial evidence. She flatly said no. But according to investigators with SLED, the South Carolina Law Enforcement Division, that wasn't true. In fact, they allege that on February 28, 2023, in the thick of the Murdaugh trial, Hill shared sealed photographic evidence with at least one unauthorized party, evidence that had been explicitly ordered sealed by the judge. So when she denied it later, under oath, Sled says she crossed the line from poor judgment into perjury. Then there's the obstruction of justice charge. Prosecutors allege that Hill's decision to show sealed trial exhibits during the trial wasn't just unethical. It actively violated a judge's order and interfered with the integrity of the legal process. Sealed evidence exists for a reason. To protect sensitive information, ensure a fair trial, and maintain the jury's impartiality. By allegedly leaking or displaying those materials, Hill may have jeopardized all of that. It's not just a bureaucratic slip-up, it's a potential breach of justice during a trial where a man's life was literally on the line. Now add to that two counts of misconduct in office. One focuses on her role as an author. After the Murdaugh verdict came down, Becky Hill co-authored a book called Behind the Doors of Justice, a tell-all account of what she witnessed during the trial. It was marketed as an insider's perspective. The problem? According to investigators, Hill used her position and access to court resources to promote and enrich herself through that book. One charge specifically states she abused her office to drive book sales using social media accounts tied to her official role in leveraging her newfound fame while still serving as the clerk of court. The other misconduct count is less about media stunts and more about money. According to the arrest affidavit, Hill obtained nearly $10,000 in bonus payments from a fund meant to incentivize child support enforcement, a fund that wasn't intended for her. She also allegedly accepted a $2,000 gift check from court accounts for personal use. These aren't rounding errors or murky reimbursements. These are specific financial transactions flagged as misappropriations of public funds. Taken together, they paint a portrait of someone allegedly using the court system not just as a stage, but as a personal ATM. But these charges didn't appear out of nowhere. They're the end result of a long, increasingly public unraveling that began not long after the Murdaugh verdict. In the months following the trial, Hill's conduct began raising eyebrows both inside and outside the legal community. Her book raised immediate ethical concerns. Critics pointed out that its publication so soon after a high-stakes conviction, and while appeals were still pending, was at best tone-deaf. At worst, it suggested a financial motive for how she managed the trial. And then came the ethics complaints. By 2024, the South Carolina State Ethics Commission had opened a full-blown investigation, ultimately filing 76 separate administrative charges against Hill. Those violations included using her position for personal gain, allowing filming inside the courthouse without proper authorization, and allegedly creating a hostile work environment. One of the more notable complaints? She allegedly struck a deal with a documentary crew to film inside the courthouse in exchange for favorable coverage of her book. Another pointed to her use of public funds to buy staff lunches and distribute bonuses without proper documentation or oversight. None of these were criminal charges, but they signaled a serious breach of public trust. Under that pressure, Hill announced her resignation in March 2024. She called it voluntary. Technically, it was. But anyone following the case closely knew the writing was on the wall. Ethics complaints were mounting. Her credibility had been publicly questioned by Justice Toll, and Murdaugh's legal team was pointing to her behavior as a key reason their client deserved a new trial. In fact, the January 2024 evidentiary hearing, where Hill allegedly lied under oath, was the direct result of Murdaugh's retrial motion, filed months earlier. His attorneys claimed that Hill had actively tampered with the jury, telling them not to believe his testimony and pressuring them to reach a guilty verdict. While no criminal jury tampering charges have been filed against her, the retrial hearing did bring those allegations under public scrutiny. And at that hearing, Judge Toll didn't exactly give Hill a glowing review. In her final ruling, she described Hill as someone who appeared attracted by the siren call of celebrity and whose behavior was not completely credible. But Judge Toll still denied the retrial. Her reasoning. While Hill's conduct was troubling, the jurors themselves testified that it didn't affect their verdict. 11 of 12 jurors said Hill's actions had no impact. One said he heard her make a comment, but insisted it didn't influence him. In other words, the misconduct may have existed, but not enough in the judge's view to overturn a murder conviction. Even so, the charges filed against Hill now, especially the perjury count tied directly to her testimony during that hearing, reopened some difficult questions. If the court official responsible for safeguarding the integrity of the trial was lying under oath during proceedings designed to test that very integrity, how much faith can the public or a higher court put in the outcome? That question looms especially large in a case like Murdaugh's, where the stakes are so high and the public spotlight so bright. Becky Hill wasn't just a clerk in the background. She was the person managing juror access, overseeing evidence security, and maintaining courtroom order. She was in a position of trust operating at the nerve center of a case that captivated the country. And now she's facing the same kind of legal scrutiny she once helped enforce. None of this means the verdict in the Murdaugh trial is automatically in question, but it does mean that what once looked like a clean, decisive win for the prosecution is now tangled in allegations of official misconduct. And it means that Hill's conduct, both during and after the trial, is no longer just a footnote. It's central to how this case will be remembered and possibly how it will be litigated going forward. Because when the clerk of court is accused of lying under oath, leaking sealed evidence, promoting her book on the back of a guilty verdict, and padding her pockets with public funds, well, it forces us to ask whether the justice system really delivered justice, or whether the system itself needs to answer for how it let this happen. And that brings us to the man sitting in prison still fighting for a retrial. Because what Becky Hill did or didn't do might be more than a scandal. It might be a key that unlocks the courtroom doors all over again. When Alec Murdaugh's legal team filed their motion for a new trial back in September of 2023, it wasn't some vague Hail Mary. It was 65 pages of pointed allegations, all aimed at one person, Becky Hill, the very same clerk of court who had just helped oversee one of the most high-profile murder trials in South Carolina history, was suddenly being painted not as a neutral figure, but as someone who may have nudged the scales of justice with both hands. According to the motion, Hill didn't just cross a line, she erased it. At the core of Murdaugh's argument was a simple but damning claim. The jury wasn't left to deliberate on the evidence alone. They were allegedly influenced by the one person who should have been making sure that didn't happen. Multiple juror affidavits described comments from Hill that went far beyond casual conversation. She allegedly told them not to be fooled by Murdaugh's emotional testimony. She was said to have emphasized his demeanor while on the stand in a way that framed it as performative, not sincere. And perhaps most concerning jurors recalled that Hill curtailed cigarette breaks during deliberation. Six of the jurors were smokers until they came to a decision. The implication? Finish up by, and you can have your smoke. The motion didn't just allege inappropriate behavior. It framed Hill's actions as deliberate attempts to steer the jury toward a guilty verdict. And in a case where the penalty was life in prison, that's not just unethical, it's potentially reversible. By January 2024, these claims had enough traction to trigger an evidentiary hearing. Not an everyday occurrence in South Carolina. The state brought in former Chief Justice Gene Toll to preside over it. Hill took the stand and, under oath, denied ever making comments intended to influence the jury. She said she never told jurors how to interpret Murdaugh's demeanor, never denied them breaks, never allowed journalists to see sealed exhibits. The jurors, one by one, testified as well. 11 out of 12 said they had not been influenced by anything Hill said. One admitted hearing a comment about Murdaugh's body language, but insisted it didn't sway their opinion. Justice Toll listened, weighed the testimonies, and issued a ruling that left a bitter taste in the mouths of many legal observers. She denied the motion for a retrial, concluding that while Hill may not have been entirely credible, and even noting that her actions were ill-advised and motivated by a thirst for attention, there wasn't enough evidence that her behavior actually influenced the verdict. In legal terms, Hill might have been a walking HR complaint, but not a reversible error. Then came the charges. In May 2025, Hill was indicted on four criminal counts, including perjury for lying during that very same retrial hearing. That charge wasn't about a forgotten email or a date mix-up. It was about her statement under oath that she had never shared sealed exhibits with unauthorized individuals. Investigators say she did. Specifically, they allege she let someone access a sealed crime scene photo during the trial, which would directly contradict what she told Justice Toll. And that changes the entire tone of the hearing, because if she lied about that, what else might she have concealed? And if she was willing to lie to a former Chief Justice during an official judicial proceeding, how can anyone be sure she didn't also mislead or influence jurors behind closed doors? That's the tightrope the South Carolina Supreme Court now finds itself walking. On one side, the legal precedent set by Toll's decision, no retrial because the jurors claimed they weren't swayed. On the other side, a brand new state-sanctioned allegation that the star witness in that hearing committed perjury, meaning that at least part of the factual foundation for denying the retrial may have been built on sand. Legal analysts have split sharply on what happens next. Some say Hill's indictment bolsters Murdaugh's appeal by undermining the integrity of the process. Others argue that even if Hill was lying, her lies were about exhibit access, not direct jury tampering, and therefore irrelevant to the verdict itself. That's an important distinction, because in South Carolina, it's not enough to show misconduct. You have to prove actual prejudice. In other words, you don't get a do-over just because someone acted inappropriately. You have to show that their actions changed the outcome, and the jury, at least on the record, says they weren't moved by anything Hill did or said. Compare that to federal precedent, like the case of Remmer versus United States, where any unauthorized contact with a juror is presumed to be prejudicial until proven otherwise. That standard flips the burden. Instead of the defense having to prove harm, the government has to prove no harm occurred. Then there's Parker v. Gladden, where a bailiff told jurors that the defendant was wicked and guilty. The U.S. Supreme Court threw out that conviction because it came from a court official, not a random outsider. In that case, it didn't matter whether the jurors admitted to being influenced. The mere fact that a court insider expressed a view on guilt was enough to poison the well. But that's not how it works in South Carolina. Here, the courts require proof of impact. And for now, the jurors say Hill's comments didn't make a difference. The defense argues that jurors might be reluctant to admit they were swayed, that no one wants to believe they were manipulated. But legally speaking, that's not enough. Still, the timing and nature of the charges against Hill complicate things. They breathe new life into Murdaugh's claim that the process itself was tainted. And while there's no official jury tampering charge against Hill, the perjury indictment sends a clear message. She wasn't completely honest during the one proceeding designed to examine her honesty. That could influence the South Carolina Supreme Court when they consider the case. Appellate courts typically give a lot of deference to trial judges, but if they conclude that a key witness lied during the evidentiary hearing, they may feel compelled to reevaluate the verdict's integrity from scratch. It's also worth noting what's not in dispute. No one is arguing that Hill wasn't deeply involved in the trial. She interacted with jurors. She handled sensitive evidence. She became a recognizable figure, even appearing in media interviews to promote her book. Her visibility, and now her vulnerability to criminal charges, make her a central figure in the narrative of this case, one that can't be ignored or written off as just another bureaucrat gone rogue. Whether Murdaugh gets a retrial may ultimately come down to how the court defines harm. Was it enough that the process now looks compromised? Or does the court need a direct admission from a juror that Hill's behavior changed their vote? And if that's the standard, how do you ever get a fair ruling in a case where power dynamics, memory, and public pressure are all in play? The court now faces a difficult choice. Uphold the conviction and send the message that misconduct must be proven to be prejudicial, not just embarrassing. Or grant a retrial, acknowledging that when the credibility of a court official crumbles under criminal charges, it casts too long a shadow over the original verdict. The appeal is in motion. The perjury charge is now part of the official record. The clock is ticking, and one way or another, the state's highest court will have to decide whether the pursuit of justice is best served by standing firm or by starting.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Alistair Campbell from The Rest Is Politics.
Nish Kumar here from Pod Save the UK.
And Christiana Figueres from Outrage and Optimism.
Rising inequality, conflict, climate disaster, it's very hard to find reasons to be hopeful about the future.
That's why we're teaming up this September during the 80th General Assembly of the United Nations.
Along with Political Currency, Pod Save the World, The Week Junior, and more.
We'll discuss the stories that give us hope and answer the question, how does hope turn into action?
Look out for the Be Hope Takeover this September.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo! Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
By law, 21 plus terms and conditions apply.
I'm Alistair Campbell from The Rest Is Politics.
Nish Kumar here from Pod Save the UK.
And Christiana Figueres from Outrage and Optimism.
Rising inequality, conflict, climate disaster, it's very hard to find reasons to be hopeful about the future.
That's why we're teaming up this September during the 80th General Assembly of the United Nations.
Along with Political Currency, Pod Save the World, The Week Junior, and more.
We'll discuss the stories that give us hope and answer the question, how does hope turn into action?
Look out for the Be Hope Takeover this September.
Over. If you're a label reader, this one's for you, because your skin deserves more than empty promises. At Hiba Botanica, every formula is made in-house, in small batches using organic, truly non-toxic ingredients, plastic-free packaging, clean, effective botanicals, and safe for all skin types, even acne-prone. No greenwashing, no filler, just skincare that's gentle, non-comedogenic, and designed with intention. Hiba Botanica, non-toxic, plastic-free, always safe for your skin. Shop online at HibaBotanica.com.
I'm Alistair Campbell from The Rest Is Politics.
Nish Kumar here from Pod Save the UK.
And Christiana Figueres from Outrage and Optimism.
Rising inequality, conflict, climate disaster, it's very hard to find reasons to be hopeful about the future.
That's why we're teaming up this September during the 80th General Assembly of the United Nations.
Along with Political Currency, Pod Save the World, The Week Junior, and more.
We'll discuss the stories that give us hope and answer the question, how does hope turn into action?
Look out for the Be Hope Takeover this September.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo! Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
By law, 21 plus terms and conditions apply.
I'm Alistair Campbell from The Rest Is Politics.
Nish Kumar here from Pod Save the UK.
And Christiana Figueres from Outrage and Optimism.
Rising inequality, conflict, climate disaster, it's very hard to find reasons to be hopeful about the future.
That's why we're teaming up this September during the 80th General Assembly of the United Nations.
Along with Political Currency, Pod Save the World, The Week Junior, and more.
We'll discuss the stories that give us hope and answer the question, how does hope turn into action?
Look out for the Be Hope Takeover this September.
If you're a label reader, this one's for you, because your skin deserves more than empty promises. At Hiba Botanica, every formula is made in-house, in small batches using organic, truly non-toxic ingredients, plastic-free packaging, clean, effective botanicals, and safe for all skin types, even acne-prone. No greenwashing, no filler, just skincare that's gentle, non-comedogenic, and designed with intention. Hiba Botanica, non-toxic, plastic-free, always safe for your skin. Shop online at HibaBotanica.com.
I'm Alistair Campbell from The Rest Is Politics.
Nish Kumar here from Pod Save the UK.
And Christiana Figueres from Outrage and Optimism.
Rising inequality, conflict, climate disaster, it's very hard to find reasons to be hopeful about the future.
That's why we're teaming up this September during the 80th General Assembly of the United Nations.
Along with Political Currency, Pod Save the World, The Week Junior, and more.
We'll discuss the stories that give us hope and answer the question, how does hope turn into action?
Look out for the Be Hope Takeover this September.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo! Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus.
I'm Alistair Campbell from The Rest Is Politics.
Anish Kumar here from Pod Save the UK.
And Christiana Figueres from Outrage and Optimism.
Rising inequality, conflict, climate disaster, it's very hard to find reasons to be hopeful about the future.
That's why we're teaming up this September during the 80th General Assembly of the United Nations.
Along with Political Currency, Pod Save the World, The Week Junior, and more.
We'll discuss the stories that give us hope and answer the question, how does hope turn into action?
Look out for the Be Hope Takeover this September.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woo-hoo! Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
By law, 21 plus terms and conditions apply.
I'm Alistair Campbell from The Rest Is Politics.
Anish Kumar here from Pod Save the UK.
And Christiana Figueres from Outrage and Optimism.
Rising inequality, conflict, climate disaster, it's very hard to find reasons to be hopeful about the future.
That's why we're teaming up this September during the 80th General Assembly of the United Nations.
Along with Political Currency, Pod Save the World, The Week Junior, and more.
We'll discuss the stories that give us hope and answer the question, how does hope turn into action?
Look out for the Be Hope Takeover this September.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.